What's up, y'all? Welcome to another episode. And before we start this episode, I want to encourage all our listeners to please subscribe and rate our channel. We definitely appreciate that. Also, feel free to give us feedback. Like I said, all three of those things, we definitely appreciate it. I just want to start the show off and letting you guys know. And here's another episode. I hope you all enjoy it.
What's up, y'all? This episode is sponsored by Park Hill Consulting Services. If you are interested in learning how to purchase your first investment property, or you need some help getting your finances in order so that you can purchase your first investment property, just contact us at www.parkhillconsultantservices.com and we can get you started. We hope you guys enjoy the rest of this episode.
On the way to the top floor, I ain't selling out though, but I'm on the way. Got a lot of real, Mr. Motivate. Hold all the moves, I'ma put in play. On the way.
Motivation for all the real ones.
On the way. On the way to the big check. You ain't know I'm up next, but I'm on the way. You ain't take risks cause you too afraid. I'ma just eat till I'm overweight. On the way. On the way.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to another episode of the Millionaire Mindsets Podcast. My name is Deanna Kent, and I'm sitting here with my co-host, Xavier Miller.
What's up, what's up?
And today we have two very special guests. They're the creators of Mobile Home Elite. Welcome to the show, Byron and Shanice.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank y'all for coming on. I'm so excited. Every time I get somebody on the show that's from Chicago, I get excited. I'm like, man, you know what I'm saying? Because we out in Cali now, and it's like, it's rare that like I get to, you know what I'm saying, come across somebody from Chicago. So it's like, oh, shit, okay.
we need some of y'all weather right about now, though.
What's the weather like out there?
Man,
right
like
now.
30-something?
Yeah, right now it says...
Yeah.
39
and
rain. Oh man, I remember the last time I felt 39.
Nah, me neither. For real. I don't either. Yeah, I don't. But so the first question we usually ask our guests is, so what was the start to everything y'all got going on right now? Just giving a little background on ourselves.
Yeah, man. So man, it got sparked March 3rd, 2017. That was the day I was fired from my job.
Wow.
I was kind of going into my entrepreneur journey. And, man, I did a lot of personal development, but I wanted to get in real estate, right? I've been wanting to get in real estate, studying real estate 3 years, had a few deals that didn't go through. And then once I lost my job, I'm not going to say I lost my hope, but I'm thinking, like, how am I going to get started? You know, I ain't got no job to back it up, my credit, like, what's going to be my proof? And fast forward, man, I was driving. At the time, I started driving Lyft in, like, September of 2017 because times were getting hard. That savings ran out. And, right in like December, I remember listening to a podcast. I was in the Bigger Pockets podcast. It was a podcast on mobile home investing. But that particular day, like the people that I was riding, they like, man, can you turn that off? We just want to hear some music. So I'm like, all right, man. So I sent to Sharnice, like, hey, check this one out. I think this one's going to be decent.
Yeah, so he sent me that podcast. And at the time, I had recently lost my job as well. So I was just on an entrepreneurial journey, trying to figure it out. We were both at the time trying to acquire some buildings here in Chicago. So we were going to like first time home buyer classes. We were like, okay, we're going to start this real estate game. But due to capital and credit, that wasn't our plan, right? So he sent me that podcast. And again, it was a Bigger Pockets podcast. And that podcast was on mobile home investing. And the biggest thing is people always ask, like, what was so dope about that podcast? It was just the opportunity with the numbers, the breakdown of the numbers. And it really spoke to us and our situation at the time. Because again, we had both just lost our jobs. So our capital was very minimal.
Right.
So, man, listen to that podcast. They broke down the numbers. I was super excited. I came home and I was like, hey, babe, we going to mobile home. Like, I know you're trying to convince me that we need to be landlords and get the house hacking here in Chicago and get these buildings. But I'm like, listen, just listen to your queen, okay? And it's going to work out. And he was game. He was game. And that's how we got started.
That's so dope. Can y'all, like, walk us through the first deal y'all went through?
And was it in Chicago?
Yeah, so right in Love's Park, right near Rockford.
Wow. See, I never, like, being from Chicago, I never thought of, you know what I'm saying, going to see. I never even seen a mobile home. So that's why I'm like, is they doing this in Chicago?
All the time.
Man, so, man, we had, like, literally it took us, like, again, almost 2 months to find our first deal. We was we went to Gary, Indiana, all the way down to Cincinnati. We went to Decatur, Illinois, Champaign. We was on the road trying to find a deal. And calling so many, but that first deal, Sharnice happened to stumble upon a guy. He's a park manager, and he had some homes for sale. He had one for sale for like, he was listening for $7,500. He had one for $1,500. So we like, yo, let's go out there. Like, mm-hmm. So we heard and got out there. So we went to see the homes. We loved them. One we needed to fix, it needed some work. The other one, it was move-in ready. He's like, make us an offer. All together, the houses would have been, if we'd have made him an offer, we'd have been looking around like $8,500. So Sharnice was like, hey, tell him 4,000. And I'm like, no, man, I ain't about disrespect. Right?
Yeah, buyer was so scared.
I was scared. So I was like, 4,300. And he said, yes. So we like, what? We just got two cribs for $4,300?
Right, but he came back and I was like, 4,300? I told you to say 4,000. But no, I was still happy and satisfied with getting those first two deals for 4,300. It was amazing.
Wow. Yeah,
to kind of break down some quick numbers, man, one of them, the house, so basically he split it up. It was $3,700 for the move-in ready house, and then it was $500 for the house that needed fixer up. We put $3,000 to the house that needed fixer up. We sold that one for $10,000, and then we sold the one that was move-in ready for $9,500. It took us less than literally 30 days. We went and made $19,500. We was like, oh yeah, this is it. We ain't never seen them type of checks. We was like, yeah, this is it. We in this.
Wow. It's two things I want to touch on, which is super dope with what y'all said. What you said when y'all first was getting into mobile home, she said, let's do it. And you listened, and you was like, all right, let's do it. Then the second time, she said, say 4,000, don't say 8. You was like, all right. And that's something I feel like a lot of dudes, we be so prideful and just so like, you know, I'm a man, I ain't supposed to listen to nobody. Like, you listen to your queen twice, and that's so important. Like, because y'all just as valuable. Y'all know stuff, you know what I'm saying, too. So it's like, a dude, for people that's listening, you a man, you got in a relationship, listen to your girl as well, fam. That's like they for like they ain't just saying stuff to be saying stuff. You know what I'm saying?
For real, man.
For real. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And so just going like, so after that deal, like y'all was just like, we all in on mobile homes now.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So what was it? There you go.
No, I'll say we at first, don't get me wrong, you know, we took a little trip, but we didn't spend too much of the money. You know, we had to celebrate
right.
Two bands real quick, but, you know, we just like, no, we got to reinvest it. Let's not blow this money. Let's keep going.
Man, that's amazing, man. So many people would have like, what? Man, we lit. But, you know, especially back home in Chicago, bro, I already know the mentality, bro. It's over with. What was the I'm pretty sure after that first time you did it, it was like a sense of like losing that fear, like, okay, we can really do this now. And it was probably like, I don't want to say easier, but it was probably more smoother after that because that you got that experience now. Was that the case?
Oh, yes, for sure. Like after that first deal, like that really sparked me because even during finding and prospecting, of course, like I still was in that fear mindset of, oh, I got to go back to get a job. I was still applying for jobs at the time. You know, unfortunately, I have my degree, but you know, in today's society, you got to know people to kind of get your foot in the door right away. So I was still applying because I'm like, listen, I got to have some form of a backup plan just in case. Like I always had that just in case mentality, but I had Byron always next to me like, you're not getting a job. You're not getting a job. Like we're going to do this entrepreneurial thing, like just continuing to uplift me and motivate me. And that really just stuck with me. So when we finally did, you know, make our first close to 20K, I was like, okay, cool. I think I can do this entrepreneurial thing. I think I'm looking at it now.
that's super dope. So for someone that's listening to this, because like this is a conversation that's kind of like coming up now, mobile home investing. So I know there's a lot of people that's looking to get into it. So for somebody that's at the ground level and they want to get started, what's the best way they can start with keys to getting started?
Yeah. So the first thing I was going to tell them, the tip I always give is, you know, you want to go to Google Maps and then you type in mobile home parks. What that's going to do is going to allow you to see all the mobile home parks near you. You get to kind of just, you know, go through the map, see, and now you can start, you know, mapping out your days. The best thing is to really get out there and just start driving to parks, you know, looking for sale signs, talking to park, going there, introducing yourself to park managers, getting some no's, you know, getting, and just kind of getting a feel, building those relationships. That's one of the best things you can do. And then, of course, educate yourself as well, right? But those right there will get you more acclimated because we get a lot of people that are trying to do it from their phone, they're calling.
Right.
And I get it because that's an easier way. That's a safe bet. But they get discouraged because over the phone, you know, they can hear a no. Like, no, we don't allow investors. No, we don't do this. No. And that's right there is kind of discouraging. But if you get out and take action, it's going to make you, you know, much, it's going to make it much easier, and it's, you're going to get more comfortable as well.
Right. That makes sense.
So for someone who's, I don't, like, now that you guys are more experienced, when you're going to find mobile homes, what exactly are you looking for in the home itself? Like, are you looking for certain things that need to be repaired, or, you know, more like that?
So normally on the first deal, we always encourage, like I said, if you're going out there, you want to make sure there's no major thing. So the major thing is the roof. You come in there, you see like leaking in the ceiling, you know, kind of mold in the ceiling. You kind of want to avoid that. That can be costly. A new roof can cost you up to like $8,000. Plumbing, you want to turn on the water and things. Just make sure the plumbing is good. Plumbing, again, is not expensive as traditional housing. That could be another $2,000. The electricity, you just want to make sure, I mean, the lights, if it's off, you know, rewiring again, not too bad. It could be $800, $1,200. And the floors, you want to just walk through all the house to make sure the floors are intact, no soft spots. If those four are really, you got it good. Like, literally everything else is cosmetic, you know, toilets, cabinets, like all that stuff. And when you talk about a mobile home, really depending on the area, but 9 out of 10, it is like basic Home Depot cabinets, right? You're talking about the wood countertops. You're not talking about granite or even stainless steel. Like, if you, y'all in Cali, so, you know, so something in California, San Diego, to make it more attractive, of course, you won't, you might want those appliances, but most places in America, you kind of keep it simple. People are looking for affordable housing.
That makes sense. See, like, it's so crazy to me, because, like I said, growing up, that's something like, I never, like, I ain't never think about mobile homes. I never really thought of it till like months ago. I was having a conversation. We was out of Miami having a conversation, and this girl was telling me that's what she doing. She was giving, I'm like, what? She was like, yeah, I bought a mobile home for $8,000 and sold it for like $90,000 or something, she said. I was like, hold on, what?
See the margins, though, right?
Yeah. It's crazy. I'm like, no way, bro. Because I'm like, I just bought a house paying more than that, and it's going to take me way. I'm like, wait. I need to sell. I'm like, I got to switch it up, bro. Like, what's going on?
Right.
It's such an interesting field, for real. And I feel like, so a lot of people, they know about it, but at the same time, many people don't really know too much about it. It's still kind of like, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of questions around it. So that's why we brought y'all on, because I feel like y'all got a lot of value and game y'all could give. And
thank you.
Yeah, definitely. And so going on to y'all, like, were all y'all deals pretty much the same, or was it like different structures and stuff like that?
So we definitely had different structure. One of the things we start offering, we found out, was just seller finance. Because at first we started off flipping, and we realized, like, hey, like, okay, we get some of these properties, we start renting them out. Now they so far off, like, if something breaks, then what are we gonna do? So we kind of got introduced to seller finance. We're like, oh, yo, this time we don't gotta be no landlords. We put the responsibility on the tenant buyer. So then we kind of got obsessed with those deals. Like, let's see how many of these we can get, because this is just the passive income. So mobile homes are similar to, in most states, is a motor vehicle. They fall in the same category, or the same thing as personal property. So with that being said, they had titles, right? Except for some states, I know Texas has like an SOL. That's, I forgot the initials, what it stands for. But so what we did was, we were like, okay, you know what? We're going to put them on terms like a car, right? You know, most cars, you get a car, you're going anywhere from a 48, you know, 36-month payment upwards to a 72 higher. So like, it's a house, so we're going to do anywhere from 3 to 10 years. And then at the end of the term, they can own their own home. And then with that, they're fully responsible for all the repairs, anything, right? And for us, we was just like, yo, we like this. So once we start getting those, like, this passive income, they paying on time. We only had to do one eviction, and we didn't even have to do it. The mobile home park did the eviction because they wasn't paying them. So now we got our house back, and we went ahead and sold it off.
Man, that's so crazy. I was like, that's really mind-blowing, because that was the question I was going to ask, because dealing with the parks, It's like you the landlord, but are you really dealing with the tenant that much, since they paying the park directly?
No, we're not. So that's a beautiful thing about mobile home investing. Because even going back to when we were first trying to get into real estate, the one thing that turned me off when Byron was trying to really push like us being a building was being a landlord. I did not want to deal with tenants at all. So we discovered seller finance and putting these homes on payment. I was like, wow, okay, this is amazing. I don't really have to do anything but set the deal up and then collect my passive income monthly. So when it comes to dealing with the tenants, like, no, like, they, as long as, you know, their payments are in on time, like, we really don't have any communication. If something goes wrong with the house, again, they understand that upfront that they are responsible for any maintenance or anything, because they're signing a lease to a lease agreement with the purchase option to own. So they already know in their contract that they'll be responsible for anything that comes up, which they're totally fine with that, because you got to understand, these are families who are looking to own a home. So they're already excited from the beginning, like, oh my God, like, this home will be mine in so many years. So, you know, that's the biggest thing that we do provide, is the affordable housing.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
So, like, I know growing up, I always, people always used to give me kind of like a negative view of mobile homes. Like, oh, right. You know, like, oh, you a mobile home. Like, it was never like a good vibe when people brought up a mobile home. So I just want to ask y'all, like, what is y'all turnover rate? Like, do you really get people who want to stay for long term, like years? Or is it more of a short term thing where they're just like, all right, I'm going to just do this until I'm ready to purchase a house to live in?
Yeah, so really, I mean, honestly, it's all about screening, right? When I said the one family that we had to, the park evicted, that was in our earlier days. We were kind of just like, hey, we don't want to pay no more lot rent. Let's put a family in. And the park actually gave them to us. That's what we was like, oh, well, if y'all trust them, we'll be trusting. And so we learned from that. But honestly, the turnover ratio, man, our people pay on time. Most mobile homes, the beautiful thing about it, you talk about the stigmas, right? And most of those stigmas came, especially if you got our generation, from 8 Mile. 8 Mile shows like Trailer Park Boys. Right. Mm-hmm. Those stigmas came. And so when you thought about it, you like, oh, yeah, like, but not all mobile home parks are like that. That's when, for us, we thought about it too. Like, we thought it was going to incur racism. Like, we thought we was going to see all this crazy stuff. And we really have not. And so, like, again, when it comes to, like, the people paying, it's all about screening. It's all about screening your tenants. We do credit checks. We do background checks. Like, the park does that, but we do it for ourselves. Okay. Just to cover, you know, cover our base.
Okay, yeah, that make a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. And I've been to a park out here before, and they was like, I remember they was telling me, like, we don't allow, like, something like, we don't allow investors. It was something, I don't remember, something to that script, and I'm like, what? So is that something that y'all deal with, or is it like a workaround around that?
So, yes. All right. Okay. So here's the thing. Ethically, we teach to ask first, right?
Okay.
When you talk about a workaround, the workaround is, and again, I got to get, you know what I'm saying, y'all listen to some game. But at the same time, I want y'all messing it up.
Right, for everybody. Right.
But once you own the title, the home is yours. The thing is, you can go to a party like, hey, listen, I own the title. So here's how it is, okay? I'm willing to pay you lot rent until I find somebody to get in this home, or you can buy the home from me. Like, so that's really a way that you can, you know, you can do it. Mm-hmm. Again, the reason I don't want to curse, because some parks have the strength to kind of come. They have sometimes an innate clause that they can kind of go out and make it harder for you, right? Mm-hmm. While you're trying to bring people in there, they may be denying them. Because they're like, okay, I'm going to stall you out. You're going to pay me lot rent until when I want you to. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it all depends on the park, and that's why we talk about building relationships, because those relationships will help you in the long run.
Yeah, that makes sense.
How much do you typically have to pay for lot rent? Is that really expensive, or is it just like a small fee each month?
So normally, the average lot rent in America right now is $375, but it's all about region. Like, where you got, like in California, especially SoCal, you're looking at like on the high end, $1,000, $1,200. Mm-hmm. You know, some parts, when they're closer to major cities, lot rent is higher. It could be anywhere from $500 to $800 to the thousands. Rural areas, you are looking at those lower lot rents. Those, you know, anywhere from $150 up to like $400.
Mm. Okay. So, like, does the lot rent cover, let's say, water and stuff like that? Or do you have to pay for those expenses yourself out of that lot rent price?
Yeah, so typically the lot rent is going to include the amenities of the park, so it will be water for some parks. Some parks, the water is separate. It kind of just depends on individual basis, but normally it is like trash, water, sewer, and any other amenities that comes on the park. Like some parks that we have homes on, they have a swimming pool, like a community center, like basketball courts and playgrounds for the kids. So that's all included in the lot rent as well.
Yep, and from my conversations with a couple mobile home investors, their thing is always like about obtaining a park. So I just had a friend of mine, he hit me up like this week, and he was saying how he got a park that's for sale for like $300,000 or something like that. And I was like, wow. So I wanted to ask y'all, like, is that something like one of the long-term goals? Yeah, she like, yeah.
working on it as we speak.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Right. That's 2020 goal.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I already know it because I keep hearing that conversation. Like, yeah, the park is where is that having the park? And because I seen something where like my friend, he was telling me, he was saying how like this one park that's like $300,000. He was like, the first year you gonna make half of your money back, and I'm like, this stuff, it be sounding too good to be true. Like, yo, what?
Man, yeah. Man, it's funny you say that because for us when we first did, we was like, okay, this deal was sweet, but this is too good to be true. And then, bro, it got to the point when we started getting free homes.
Like, that's what I heard. I heard that before.
Yeah, the park manager was like, okay, you know what? Thank y'all for helping out this family. I'm going to give you this one. And we like, oh, it's crazy. Okay. We turn around and tell that for $10,000. It's just like, yo, this is crazy.
Free money. That's crazy. So, like, you guys started off pretty much flipping, but it seems like now y'all like more interested in like owning it and just getting that rental income monthly.
Yeah.
That makes sense, though, because that, like we always say, like, that's what pretty much building wealth is when you study trying to get, you know, passive income, building them streams up continuously instead of getting those quick $20,000-$30,000 checks for real, which is cool too, but you know what I'm saying. but once you got it, that stream's done. Now you can get that stream forever, every single month. And getting back to people, because I know people that's hearing it, they're gonna be like, yo, what? I want to get started today. Hearing y'all, like, you know, you hear something, you like, yo, I want to get started today. So like, just what are some things that just things that people definitely need to be aware of. I don't want to say cons, but just things that, like, sometimes people could forget about. They'd be like, I didn't know about this part of it.
Definitely. So one thing is highly attractable that you're going to see mobile homes that need to be moved off of private land. And that's what we get. And whoever's selling, they might be selling for $1,000, $2,000. But here's the reality of that. You have to have a place to move that home. Most people see that price like, yo, he got it for $100. I'm going to buy this home. It's like, okay, where are you going to move it? And then you got to think about it. If it's an older home, if it's a 1970s, like that home, it might be damaged in transit because it's been in place for 30 plus years. So one thing is just being cognizant of moving homes, again, when you first started out, because it may be a great deal, but if you don't have anywhere to put it, a mobile home park, they don't want a 1973. I mean, you know, it depends on where it is in the country, but now it's not that they don't want that. They want a newer home. They want something 2019 and up. So that right there is sometimes people kind of get, you know, they get anxious. Just like, yo, on your first deal, if you have no experience, try not to move a home. Normally just try to find a deal that's already on, you know, on land or in a mobile home park.
That's extremely important right there. Yep. And this is a question we always, like, whenever we have, like, couples on the show, I always make sure I ask them this question. I'll just be like, how important do y'all think it is having, like, because me and her together, we do business together, and I know firsthand how beneficial it is. Like, how, in y'all opinion, how beneficial it is to y'all?
Man, it's very beneficial. Like, I love it. I mean, I encourage everybody, like, your guy, your hubby, wifey, y'all need to be in business together, okay? Like, this is probably the best decision. Well, I can't speak for him. It's the best decision that we both have made as far as just, even when it comes to our personal relationship, I feel like even being in business has helped us to grow together, right? Even in our personal relationship and our business relationship. And it has just really just made us just have a stronger bond in general.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Like, I mean, literally, I've had so many people wanted to go in business, and honestly, like, you know, not the fact that, you know, hey, this is my baby, but at the same time, is we even, like, for example, when we argue, it's over the business, and then we step back and be like, yo, look what we arguing about. You know, it's not, we rarely have a personal, you know, something when it's all about, so we, knowing that we all in. And one thing too, like, I encourage people, like Charlize said, if you got your husband or your boyfriend or girlfriend, take a chance. Like, to me, right, like, you know, people think when we first got together, we started really fast. Like, literally, we got together, got the LLC, and we was moving, right? And we get a lot of people, like my, you know, of course, family, like, are you sure you want to do that? What if it don't work? Like, what if it don't work? Guess what? We 50-50. So right. It's a win for both of us.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's real. Because, like, it's weird. Because sometimes I'll hear couples say, like, nah, I would never go into a business with my partner. I would never do, like, money things. And it's like, wait. So y'all probably sleeping together every night, but you won't do nothing that's going to elevate your pockets. And like, what sense does that make?
I think the problem is most people think going into business with your partner is adding on more pressure and stress onto the relationship, when in reality it's not, because it's a whole different feeling.
It's a different dynamic.
Yeah, it's completely different.
Man. Y'all get to spend each other, like, that's the thing. It's not like, I feel like, for example, we work separate jobs. Like, I understand, like, some guys, like, they always taking their girl, you know, they girl out on dates and things like that. Now they feel like, man, like, I hate to say it, like, they girl is a burden versus,
right,
I'm losing a pot. So this is our money that we spend. So it shouldn't be funny. Sharnie's be like, take me out. I'd be like, okay.
That's real right there. That's real.
And I just want to say, like, it's just different, like, things to be excited about, too, you add into it. Because not only are y'all spending more time together, but now it's, like, instead of just your normal, oh, we went on a date, but now I'm like, man, we just bought a house. Like, you know, I'd be excited. Right. Like, oh, we got another property. Exactly. You know, it just add more to the relationship, in my opinion.
It kind of, like, from my opinion, it makes it, like, I don't even know the words to describe it. It makes it more of a, like, a connection. And that's how I feel. Like, when we accomplish something together, it's like, dang, we just made some money together. We just got our property together. It's like, dang, bro, we really like linking now, like, for real. So,
that's so real, man. I love it. Because that's how, you know, we joke around, man. I remember, like, our first check that we get. Mm-hmm. We was in the house. We turned Alexa on, and we was playing money.
That's like an experience that I think every couple should have, because it's like it's more of a, like, you proud of not only yourself, but you proud of your partner too. Like, dang, like, you played a role in this, you did this yourself too. Like, it's like, dang, bro. Like, so I definitely, like, I always have these conversations, because I be wanting couples to, like, even if you're not entrepreneurial, like, at least, you know what I'm saying, take at least one risk. Try to do something where you're owning something together as a unit. So, yeah, that's real.
And then, plus, you get to see that growth in your partner, too, because they in a whole different ballgame. Yeah, it's not you at work, and I don't really get to see you. No, I get to see you, like, push yourself to the next level, you know, test the limits and really grow as a person and a businessman.
Yeah, it's deep. It's deep, man. It's deep. I want to ask you guys something about branding, because, like you said, you said 2017, right?
Yeah.
And y'all pretty much, this only was just 2 years, and you guys grew into like pretty much like a household name with it. So what is some of the because you got people out here that's been trying to build their brand since 2013, and they, like, they ain't seeing no results or nothing. So it's like, whether y'all some tip, y'all don't want to get y'all give away all the game, but what's some tips that you guys can give some people when it comes to that?
Man, definitely, you know, I know this is pretty, like, not say cliche, but having a niche, whatever you're in, I don't care whatever it is, if everybody's doing it, how can you separate yourself, for one? Also, reach out to other influencers. That's another thing. Reach out to other influencers. You know, try to add some value. Just don't try to take. Like, hey, can you post my stuff? Like, no. Like, see what type of value that you can generate. You know, whether if you have a product or something, you know, send it to them. You know, see if they like it. If they like it, then that way, you know, they can definitely outpub you.
Yeah, and I was gonna say, definitely reach out to influencers. Don't be afraid to pay for those promo ads on those influencer pages. They definitely will get you far. And man, just really, like, I know the one thing we did when we first started the Mobile Home Lead Investors page is that we really interacted with our new followers in the DM. So we would be DMing them, just kind of introducing ourselves, letting them know what we're about, what we do, what our programs are. I think that's something that a lot of people who are afraid to do, but definitely just don't be afraid to kind of, like, put your brand and yourself out there.
Mm-hmm. That's major game right there. You want to say something?
No, just like, so I know with y'all brand growing so quickly, and I'm sure a ton of people reach out to y'all for more information and how to get started. So how do you guys manage that? Did you create your, like, I know you guys teach people how to do it. So was that the birth of that, having so many people reach out to you guys?
So actually, when we created the teaching program, like, nobody knew who we was. Like, what happened was, so for us, we dug in, we started this mobile home investing January 2018. You know, we got our deals on our belt, and then we launched November of 2018, and we're just like, hey, we're gonna try to get this to as many people as possible. So we started with family and friends. Like, literally, we've always been doing a free webinar on Wednesdays. That's always been our thing. You just want to continue putting people on. And it literally, I want to say, it's crazy how relationships go. Like, the first thing, I think Black of Pocket saw a video that I did and featured me. Mm-hmm. And then Hood of States reached out to us, shout out Packy, and he was like, hey man, I love what y'all doing. I like to make y'all a Hood of States advisor. So we like, whoa, like, that's huge. And it became a domino effect, right? We met, you know, House Hunter 216, Cousin Nita, yeah. Key Resource. And then they were introducing to me, like, hey, you need to meet Rashana Scott. And then we meet Rashana Scott. And then, I mean, it literally kept going. Todd Millionaire, we was on his part. And it was just, and that's when they just picked up steam. It was just like, it happened so fast. Like, literally, I feel like when we kind of came, you look at our page, I think we had like 1,000 followers in like February or something like that. And then we literally went from like, in July, we had 10,000 followers. And we were just like, yo, this is crazy.
You talking 2019 or 2018?
All in 2019.
I'm thinking you're talking 2018. I'm like, wait. Yeah. Whoa, that's crazy. That's crazy. That's kind of, you just kind of stumped me right there. I'm like, whoa, I'm thinking you're talking about last year.
That's the power of networking.
Yeah, that's the power of networking, with the right people. Yeah, that definitely is. And shout out to them. I know Pocky, that's my guy. We had them on the podcast. Rashana, me and Rashana talk all the time. No, yeah, them my people. So that's definitely shout out to them. It's like this. It's so dope to me that I was just having this conversation with somebody else. I'm like, it's a resurgence of a Black entrepreneurship and ownership. And it's so many of them just like, they not old. It's like young people that's doing their thing. So it's like, it's super dope to see to me.
Yeah. It is, man. It's real like the Renaissance right now, man. It's so dope because, man, just you talking about like 5 years from now, man, like looking back and what we going to be talking about then.
Mm-hmm. Ain't no telling.
And with all these people, I'm glad we all like use our platforms to help one another, because you know you ain't got to be selfish with the information, or I don't want to work with them. It's just we could all grow together if we all just put each other on, connect each other.
That's facts. And do you guys do any mobile home investing outside of Illinois?
Indiana. So we go over to Indiana. So far, those are two states that we have. We get a lot of opportunities throughout the country. It was like, we just want to kill our goals first, and then we'll probably open that up eventually.
Eventually, yeah. And me being from Chicago, I know how expensive, like, properties and stuff is. Like, what does, like, let's say, example, like a mobile home, how expensive is one in Chicago?
So in Chicago land, you can still find gems for like $5,000, $7,000. The lot rent is a little bit higher in Chicago. Like, I know Oak Lawn and Justice, those lot rents are like $800, $750. But you can still find gems, because here's the thing, the Midwest still has the stigma of trailer trash and all that kind of stuff. That's really primarily in the Midwest, some of the East Coast. But around the country, mobile home is just a regular house to most people. So in Chicago, you can definitely find the deals on the home. It's just the lot rents are a little bit higher. And most parts near Chicago are getting newer homes. So those newer homes, you're looking at the $25,000, $30,000
and up. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. And are you guys, like, interested? See, because experiencing this, like, if I started off just straight mobile homes like that, I don't even know if I would be, like, on real estate for real. I'd be so involved in that. I don't know if I would be. So are y'all, like, still into, like, buying actual homes, or not interested in that right now?
I know, honestly, we get that question all the time, and I tell Byron, like, maybe later on down the line, but I just really want to monopolize my wall investment. You know, there's so many different avenues when it comes to our business that we can really, really take over and conquer in mobile homes.
Yeah.
And something I want to ask y'all, can y'all break down how it is different from actually buying a house to buying a mobile house? Like, what are the differences in that process? And then, are there any tax advantages associated with buying a mobile home?
Yeah, they smiling. They definitely is. I see that smile.
So, yeah, I mean, so the difference is really, for one, like we talked about earlier, mobile homes are considered like either a motor vehicle or personal property. So it's not necessarily real estate unless you go get a piece of land and then you put some concrete down and you kind of build up a little bit of foundation, which are more modular homes. But the difference is, what I love about closing is totally different, right? Mobile homes don't, most mobile home states don't require inspection, so you don't have to hire an inspector. You rarely need a realtor, or unless you're trying to sell maybe like a $70,000 home or so, but 9 out of 10, we don't deal with realtors. Contractors, right? I remember we get a lot of comments like, why you guys don't use contractors? At the end of the day, I love contractors, but their job is to hire crew to get my house done. When for us, we can just go hire the work directly because the work isn't as strenuous as the, you know, a home, and it doesn't have all the codes and things that you want to. So here's the thing, not to say you want to go around that, but you still want to get people that do quality work and make sure it's clean, safe, and functional. Mm-hmm. No appraisals. There's no appraisals. There's no title company. We don't have to pay for a title company. Yeah, man. That, like, literally, we, like, all of the things that go into a house closing and everything. And then what I love about it, we close the same day. Get our check and we good.
See, man, that's so crazy. Because I was just, this was like a couple months ago. I was talking to one of my friends, and this was after we recently purchased one of our properties. It took us 3 months to close. And I was telling him, I was like, mad. I'm like, man, this just took us 3 months, bro. And he was like, man, he started talking about mobile homes. Like, yeah, man, I got a mobile home. I closed today. And I was like, what? He's like, I went to the DMV, transferred the title. And that was pretty much, I'm like, dog, wait. I'm like, hold on. So that's real. Like, you really can close it like pretty much like that.
Man, just like that. Get the check same day.
Must be nice.
No, that's crazy, man. It's like, I feel like this could definitely be helpful to a lot of people, because I know, like, a lot of people, when it comes to real estate, they're like, I don't want to get started right now because I don't feel like I have the capital. And as y'all know, you know what I'm saying, mobile homes, like, how much do y'all think someone needs to, I know it could vary, but how much do you think someone, like, the minimum somebody have, then they could get started?
So really, is really about, it varies, right? But I was just like for us in our training, we teach people how to get started with no money down, basically wholesale. Like, you can always wholesale a mobile home and not have any capital into it. But if you want to actually have the asset, it really depends on the country. I would say a safe number, if I had to say, like, more so broad around the country, seven to 10 grand. Right. And that help you with all of your costs, right? But again, some regions, California, you know, the Pacific Northwest, Washington, Oregon, Southern Florida, certain states, because of the cost of living is higher, homes will be more, but majority of the country, you can find these deals as low as $5,000.
That's what I keep hearing from talking to several people. They keep, like, we supposed to take a trip soon to Dallas to go look at some mobile homes, because I know somebody out there that was he was telling me, like, yeah, he was like, I know some people out here that got something for $5,000-$8,000. He was like, they gonna sell for much. I'm like, yo, what? Like, how's, I'm confused how this not. I feel like it's the popularity probably gonna come with it soon over time, but right now it's still like under the radar for real.
Yeah, it's a wave right now. We tell people 10,000 people started today. It still won't be saturated.
Wow,
that's crazy. And so the competition is pretty much not there then.
Zero. Yeah, we know. Right. Yeah, we know where, you know, people are getting involved in things and at different places and things. But we have yet heard somebody say, "Man, somebody bought that mobile home up from me."
That's funny. That's funny. So typically for like just going on to repairs, like how much are like repairs usually for a mobile home?
Yeah, so man, I'll tell you, a full rehab on a single wide mobile home on a high end could be $12,000. Full. Yes. So when you think about that, like you said, when you think about that, it's not that, you know, not that expensive. Like again, like we all, for us, we like staying away from stuff that is basically, we don't want like putting $1,000 into our home. Right. We might replace a toilet, might put some paint into it or something like that.
Minor repairs.
Very minor, right? But, you know, for us right now, like we just like paying a cleaning lady to make us, you know, spick and span.
That's, she said we about to go buy one. We are. For real, that's great. So is it ever a time where like dealing with parks, because I'm pretty sure all y'all mobile homes not in the same park, correct?
Right.
So is it every time with like different parks with like different rules where they make it pretty much more difficult than other places?
Could be upcoming. I'd say most smaller parks, we call them mom and pop parks, who is just one owner, so they want to keep all the money for themselves, right? So which I understand, right? So, you know, versus them selling a home to an investor, they'll probably fix the home up themselves, then sell it off. But as far as rules, you know, you hear most park managers say no. And I'm going to tell you the reason why. Most owners are not going to say no to you. And okay. The reason why, because a park manager has more on their plate, right? They got to sell houses. They got to do evictions. They got to collect rent. They got to make sure that, you know, homes are occupied. So a really good park manager who's been in the game for a while, they like you when they see you coming. Like, oh, you an investor? Oh, well, I got this house, and this house. Because for one, they got a numbers. They got to make sure a good park manager keeps houses. They keep the vacancy rate, you know, very, very low, right? Yeah. I mean, high, I'm sorry. They want to make sure that those houses are filled. So if Sharnice and I both got homes, that's two more houses that, you know, they can put on their thing, they collect a lot rent from. So that's the thing. When people go in there, you got to, I mean, you got your listeners a tip. You got to go in there and go on relationship based versus kind of going in like, hey, I'm an investor. Y'all let me in there. And it's just because like you're not adding no value. But if you kind of go in there saying, hey, you know, I can help you. I can help you sell homes and things like that. That sounds better. That sounds more attractive versus you being like, I'm an investor. Because in the past, about 6-7 years ago, it was another wave of this happening, right? People were mobile home invested and things like that. And what was happening is investors were coming in and they'll just leave properties because they had no tie to it, right? They wouldn't find the people, they just leave properties. And they gave a lot of park owners bad, you know, bad taste in their mouth. But now, for us, we teach people to do it the right way. So that way you don't come in there, you know, just being on BS and build a relationship. Mm.
And something key that like you keep saying, which is super important, is the pretty much the power of relationships. And like we understand being entrepreneurs, that's like pretty much the most important thing. Like we was talking to Pocket from Hood Estates, and he was like, that's more important than the money for real in business.
Yeah,
building those relationships. And that's, I feel like that's so underrated, because right now, as popular as entrepreneurship is, I feel like most people forget that aspect. They just so thirsty on getting some bread. Like, man, I'm just trying to do whatever I can do to make this money. They ain't thinking about, I could build this relationship where we could always make money together. Whereas, you know what I mean? Yeah. So that's super important. And something I want to ask is, this is randomly popped up in my head. You know, there are a lot of talks about an upcoming recession or whatever. And do you think a recession will affect like mobile home investing?
Not really, because so a lot of owners, they like being saved. The first owner I met, he said mobile homes are recession proof.
Yeah.
But then I hear people saying it's more recession resistant, meaning that because, you know, when apartments go up, people, you know, when the rents go up, right, people getting pushed out. So this is the only affordable housing that's non-subsidized, right? Most Section 8 doesn't allow mobile homes. So with that being said, like, you can make $15 an hour and afford an $800, you know, rent or so. Yeah. So I think as an investor, that's what we're doing, coming in, creating affordable housing, not going in there and just, you know, raising everything up. If you, you know, for us, we act with integrity. We still want to make it attractable. So when that recession does hit, we have people that can still afford their rent.
Yeah, and that's why it popped up in my head, because it just hit me like, that's probably recession proof. Like, thinking about it, because I'm like, when recession happened, people like low on money and they move out of their situation, they gonna try to go to affordable housing. And I'm like, don't nothing really beats affordable like mobile homes. So I'm like, oh, hold on. I'm gonna, like, just a light bulb went out of my head. Like, wait, I'm like,
yeah.
Let's see. Something else I wanna ask, and this is my final question, unless you got something else. Okay. Yeah, I want to ask, so, like, getting a park. So, like, a couple days ago, we ran into this lady. We was out at a restaurant. And she, I had this hoodie on, and she came up to me, and she was like, so what y'all do, blah, blah. She was trying to be our assistant or whatever. So she was like, I want to take y'all to this land. And she was like, they got this land for sale you could buy, and y'all could put a mobile homes on there. And I'm like, I'm like, but is the process like that, though? Can you just buy land and make it a mobile home park?
So the reality of it is you can. But here's the thing. Most cities don't like it. And I'm gonna tell you the reason why. The average cost to send a kid to school is $12,000, right? And you're talking about the taxes. Mobile, when you guys talk about earlier taxes, I'm going to give you an example. We don't pay no more than $200 for no home taxes. We pay as low as $40 a year on some of our homes in Indiana taxes.
Wow.
So when you got to think about it, for cities, it don't really make sense for them because, for one, you're talking about you're using the city water, you're using the city, you know what I'm saying, the sewer. So it kind of costs them money. So it's really up to the municipality, right? And it's not that expensive, like to create, like, literally, let's say 70 pads into, like, streets and everything. You can be as low as $750,000, because if you get the home thing, like, you get the homes financed for 5% down, 10% down, the homes is not even a question. It's just the development of the land, right?
Right.
But it really depends on the city. Like, you know, for something, that's something that I really think about. And man, I remember Kanye just said the other day, it was huge. He said, America's for sale right now. And that
Facts.
Is so true.
Facts.
So true. So, you know, honestly, man, even talking larger, it's cities for sale. So if you get in control of the city and the municipality and whoever, all your mayors and everything, you can build what you want to build.
And that's another part I feel like a lot of people overlook, making them connections through the city and mayors and all that stuff. Yeah, that's major game right there. I hope people paying attention to that part. And So this I forgot. This is actually my last question. This is what we ask everybody that come on. So, like, with all the things y'all doing, the game, the information y'all give out, helping people, you know, become investors and all that, do y'all feel like as if that's an obligation y'all have to the community with, like, to give back? And not just monetary, we talking about game, access to resources, time. Do y'all feel like that's an obligation y'all have?
Yeah. I honestly say, yeah. It's just more so, we know that God's using us as a vessel, right? We always joke around and say, if God would have showed us this 2 years ago, we'd have been like, nah, God, you playing around. I'm from mobile home.
I'm from Chicago, baby. Right? You never been on mobile home? Straight up. Yeah, like you said, like, we had to come together. We had to create this program. Like, this is all through God. Like, he, like you said, we're his vessels, and we're just really just speaking through him to share with everyone on how to start creating this passive income. That's what it's all about. Just want to see everybody win.
And that's powerful right there. And before we let y'all go, we just want to say we definitely appreciate y'all coming on, chopping up with us. Like,
definitely
much love, especially y'all from being from back home. So y'all definitely got my support with it.
Appreciate you.
I want to thank y'all, because I've been trying to convince him to take me to Chicago so we could go to Harold's Chicken, but now we could just come see y'all and that could be my experience. I got a reason now. We could go.
Hey, but see, listen, he's from out west, so he gonna take you to Uncle Remus.
Hey, see?
I like Harold's better.
She like Harold's better, though. So before we let y'all go, do y'all mind then plugging all y'all info where people can find y'all? They want to take a course and all that good info.
Yes. So, man, you can find us on Instagram at mobilehomeeliteinvestors. Website coming, www.mobilehomeeliteinvestors.com. is currently under the construction, but should be up in about a week. Also Facebook at Mobile Home Elite Investors. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, MH Elite Investors. And then if you have any questions about the programs, the Facebook can link you directly. Instagram, you click the link in our bio, it have all of our products, and same thing with the website, we have all of our products as well.
Yep. And we appreciate that. Like I said, we definitely appreciate y'all coming on. Y'all got our support with anything, whatever y'all need. You know, I'm definitely
man, vice versa, man. We love the couples, man. We love the couple things. Yeah. We got to grow, man.
We'll definitely be there soon. We'll definitely be hitting y'all up whenever we touch down.
Oh yeah, for sure, definitely, bro.
Yep. Y'all have a good day. Appreciate y'all again.
Oh man, y'all too, man. Bless you.
Yep. Peace.
Thank you.
Well, that was another episode of the Millionaire Mindsets Podcast with Mobile Home Elite Investors, Byron and Sharnice. And like they said, they dropped a lot of game for our mobile home. So I definitely think that's going to help a lot of you guys if you're interested in doing that. And then wrapping up, for those who don't know, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Xavier C. Miller. And D, what's your info?
You can find me on Instagram at Deanna Kent or Kent Real Estate. And you can find me on Twitter at Deanna S. Kent.
Yep, and that's all we got for this episode. Appreciate y'all for listening. See y'all next episode. Peace.
On the way to the big check. You ain't know I'm up next till I'm on the way. You ain't take a risk because you're too afraid. I'ma just eat till I'm overweight. On the way.
A whole lot of shit on the way.
On the way.